Now, I had an idea for this sermon a couple of weeks ago, and about 10 days ago, God changed it. And he just dropped into my head the word thresholds. The idea of talking about crossing over thresholds and, you know, connected with this, you know, what Kirk brought about faithfulness leading to fruitfulness and stepping into new seasons. And then Maria brought that word last week about... for someone particular about that they're just on the edge of a threshold. So I thought, oh, yeah, that's it. I'll keep going with that. So, yeah, we're up. So I'm going to talk about thresholds and doorways, and they're interchangeable. So if you hear one, the other's the same. And doorways in the Bible are always places of transition. It's the entryway into something else, into something or out. It's the crossing over point. You know, if we think about the temple in the Old Testament, there is a doorway into the outer court, and then there's another doorway into the inner section, then another doorway into the Holy of Holies. There's this sort of series of ongoing doorways. And each time you step through, you're getting closer to God. And as I've thought about this thing to do with doorways and transitions and how do we position ourselves to partner with God in a transition? How do we make sure that we actually do keep in step with what God is doing? There are a couple of different types of doorways and transitions. So the first type is a journey, a transition inwards. Okay? So and this is really the picture of the temple. And the picture of the Garden of Eden, where you know, God built the garden for Adam and Eve, and he walked with them closely, and he wanted to be in communion with Adam and Eve. And this has been our journey as a human race ever since then. Sin came in, and it's, God's trying to bring us, in a sense, back to Eden. You know, the new heavens and the new earth in Revelation is heaven coming down and the garden of God filling the earth. He wants to be close to us. And this picture of the temple and God wanting to dwell with us, it kind of changes through the Bible over time. And it starts, you know, with the tabernacle and then the temple. Actually, it starts with Eden. Did you know the Garden of Eden was a temple? Some scholars would say it was like a portal. You know, we think of the... This is a sermon for another time, but this is just a little taste. But we think of the temple as a place that was sort of built and where we go and meet with God. But actually, what was really going on was the temple was there, and as you step over the threshold into the temple, it's like this portal and you're stepping into heaven. It's the place where heaven and earth meet. And so that picture of heaven and earth meeting, and you know, sin gets in the way, and Adam and Eve get cast out, and then if we jump all the way to the cross, we know that the curtain was torn in two, and the way in was opened again. And Jesus said, "I am a temple." He talked about his body being a temple, and Paul talks about us being a temple. And by the time we get to the book of Revelation, which I've got up here, we've got Jesus knocking, saying, "Let me in." So there's this journey inwards, connected with this idea of transition and doorways. Sometimes the transition that God has for us is simply going deeper with him. You know, he wants to fill and transform more of us. He wants us to know him better. You know, you can sort of always hear him talk. You know, when we read this verse in Revelation that I stand at the door and knock, we can always hear him saying to us, you know, I want to come in. I want to know you better. I want you to know me better. I want you to see more of my love, more of my goodness, more of my character. Just come and sit and eat with me and get to know me. You know, and these kinds of transitions, these going deeper, getting closer to God transitions, they can look like a few different things. So it can be a gentle knocking on our heart. You know, we might be going about our daily lives and we say something to someone, or we do something and we just get this little whisper of the Holy Spirit. It's not quite right. Go and say sorry. Or, I don't want you to do that anymore. You know, and I find that this kind of doorway comes up in community. It's the uncomfortable bit, right? We'd love it if we could sort all this stuff out on our own, but it doesn't come up on our own. You know, I'm quite happy by myself. No one bothers me. No one triggers me. No one gets in the way. Marriage is a really good way to encounter those doors all the time. You know, when Mel and I got married, I thought I was marrying a princess, and she thought she was marrying a prince. You know, it didn't take all that long before we found out that she'd married the devil, and I'd married a snake. You know, and every time that happens, every time, you know, you're going along and you find something in yourself that you know is not of Jesus, that's an opportunity. There's a doorway there. You have an opportunity to say, okay, this is not how I'm going to live my life. You know, and these transitions can also come up a little bit like a few weeks ago when we had Kirk here, and even last week, when the Holy Spirit comes and we have these power encounters and God does something in us. And, you know, these ones are funny because we don't always understand them. You know, God doesn't always explain exactly what he's doing. You know, I've had experiences where, you know, someone's prayed for me and I just lie on the floor shaking, and I don't particularly hear God saying anything to me. It's just something's happening and the presence of God is on me. And you don't always know what that's about. But it's important that we steward those experiences, even if we don't understand them. You know, I've been thinking about this one, and I feel like the metaphor we can use to understand this is it's a little bit like surgery. You know, sometimes God knows something has to happen in us, but we don't always know exactly what that is, so he'll does it. It's like going into surgery and, you know, we come out with a new heart or something, we have heart transplant, and you wake up and the surgery's done, but then you have your rehab. You still got to learn to walk out with this new body. You still got to learn to operate in daily life again with whatever's changed. And we'll come back to this a little bit later. And you know, and these, you know, we kind of feel here at the moment like we're on the edge of this, of a transition, but transitions can be everyday things as well. You know, everyday choices. Choose this day whom you will serve. Or in Hebrews it says, you know, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Every day is an opportunity to walk through the door that God has for you today and to go deeper with him. But the other sort of threshold we face is the big ones. The journey outwards. So that's the journey inwards. Sometimes a threshold is a journey outwards. It's God saying, go. go into all the nations and go and make disciples of all the nations. It can be a deliverance, a coming out, like Israel coming out of Egypt. It can be a sending out. It can be an appointing to ministry. It can be like, you know, Israel on the threshold of the promised land, about to enter into what God has for them. It can be Jesus going about calling his disciples, saying, come with me. Or it can be about Jesus sending us out, or sending his disciples out to bring the gospel of the kingdom of God's goodness to the world. You know, and I think some of us have a sense that that God is calling us to something new, a new job, a new ministry, a shift in the direction of our life. And I think these kinds of transitions can look as varied as there are people in the world. You know, God doesn't do it the same way twice. You know, Abram, before he was Abraham, God just says, God told him to go. That's as simple as that. Moses got a burning bush. Isaiah had a throne room experience, being taken up in a vision into heaven. Peter was out fishing one day, and this weird carpenter dude came along and said, hey, come with me. You know, and Paul had his Damascus Road experience. So is there a key to participating with God in this? I think there is. And I feel like it's one little word that's just so easy but so hard. And that word is trust. God always wants us to trust him. So we're going to step through a very familiar passage from Proverbs 3. You can go there if you want to. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. So that's Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. So let's have a look at trust in the Lord with all your heart. Because it's easy to trust when we understand everything. You know, when God lays it out and says, okay, we're going to do this and this and this and this, and we're going to get to here, and you say, okay, let's go. Does it ever happen like that? I mean, what about, you know, Noah? Hey, Noah, build an ark, it's going to rain. What? What's rain? It had never rained before. You know, or we have a, like I was talking before, what if we have an experience we don't understand? Or Abraham, he's a good one. First of all, God just tells him to go. He doesn't know where he's going. He's just got to go and follow. Then he tells him he's going to have a son, and nothing sort of seems to happen. And so Abraham takes it into his own hands. Finally, he has a son, and then God tells him to kill him, to sacrifice him. How do you trust when you don't understand? Well, what about Ananias in the New Testament? Not the one that lied and got killed, but the other one who, when Paul was Saul and was going about killing Christians everywhere, and God comes to Ananias and says, hey, Paul's in town. I want you to go and pray for him. And at that point, he didn't know what had happened to him. He didn't know that the Lord had met him. And God said to him, go. It didn't make sense. He didn't understand. But he trusted. And he went. And see, this is the thing about trust. It's something that we can only get by experience. You know, we don't get trust by thinking about it. by reading about it, by praying about it even. Trust is something that we learn by experience. Now, I might... Where's Eve? I'm going to give you an example. Eve, come here. So Eve, why did you trust me? How did you know I would catch you?
Because you're my dad.
And so why does that mean that I would catch you?
Because I know you.
And yeah. She knows me. Thanks, Eve. You see, over time, as we experience the goodness of somebody or the goodness of God, we learn to trust. It's the only way we get trust is by experiencing it. You know, and the only way we can trust in God when he calls us to do something we don't understand or gives us an experience we don't understand is by getting to know his character. Every little thing that he calls us to, we step into and we say yes, and we learn over time that he is faithful and trustworthy. But unless we take that step, you'll never find out. You know, I think it's, if you look at little kids, they trust very easily. They haven't learnt not to trust. You know, I loved what Helen shared this morning about the shame that we carry. You know, and have you ever noticed, like if you've been through an inner healing process, you ever noticed how it's often stuff from your childhood that comes up? You know, so I think as a child, we trust and we know that God is good and we think that people are good. And over time, things happen to us. People are mean to us or careless. And something in our heart starts to shift and harden. And we put up these barriers and over time, we no longer trust. You know, and so when we do things like we did this morning in communion and bring our shame to God, he's wanting to undo that, to undo the things in our past that have stopped us trusting him. And he wants to come in and so that we would learn to trust him again. You know, when it says trust in the Lord with all your heart, the heart there is kind of like the seat of emotions. It's where your emotions come from and also your kind of sense of identity and who you really are. That's what that word heart means. And I think for us, particularly in our, you know, very rational Western context, we need to remember sometimes to allow our emotions to be touched by God. We're very good at hiding our emotions and not letting things get, you know, we don't want things to go too far. or sometimes there's stuff so deep inside of us, we think, yeah, you can't, not there. It's too raw. But God is so good and so big and his love is so expansive that he can deal with all of that. There's nothing we can't trust him with. And then it says, and lean not on your own understanding. This is a good one for me because I'm a thinker, right? I like to think everything out and know it all beforehand. For those of you not on Facebook, I put this up on Facebook earlier this week. I want to read this out. It's from a book called Ruthless Trust. It's a testimony. When the brilliant ethicist John Kavanagh went to work for 3 months at the House of the Dying in Calcutta, he was seeking a clear answer as to how best to spend the rest of his life. On the first morning there, he met Mother Teresa, and she asked, "And what can I do for you?" I really need my glasses. And Kavanagh asked her to pray for him. "What do you want me to pray for?" she asked. He voiced the request that he had borne thousands of miles from the United States. "Pray that I have clarity." She said firmly, "No, I will not do that." When he asked her why, she said, "Clarity is the last thing you are clinging to and must let go of." When Kavanagh commented that she always seemed to have the clarity he longed for, she laughed and said, "I've never had clarity. What I have always had is trust. So I pray that you will trust God." Isn't that good? You know, we think sometimes that we have to understand everything. We think that if we can understand it, that we'll know what to do. And we kind of think that understanding in our minds is the first stage in any journey with God. Because we've turned understanding into an intellectual exercise. You know, when God talks about understanding, when he talks about knowing, it's experiential. You know, knowing God is not an intellectual exercise. You know, and I'm not so sure God is actually that concerned about how much we comprehend in our minds what he's called us to do. You know, when he's asked us to do something, when we get to heaven, I don't think he's going to say to us, "Did you understand that? Did you really get it?" Because what we do will demonstrate whether we got it. And the paradigm that God uses with us is a taste and see paradigm. You know, it's what it says in the Psalms, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." Unless we're willing to take that step and trust him and taste, we'll never see the goodness of God. And I guess the experience in my life as God's taken me on this journey of not just trusting my intellect, which is my natural bent, is that as I trust him and step into what he's doing in my life, even if I don't quite understand it at first, that clarity eventually comes. Well, and sometimes it doesn't. Mystery's okay. We need to be comfortable with mystery and ambiguity, I think. But things do get more clear as we walk, but not before. A little bit like Israel, you know, on the threshold to the promised land, and the River Jordan was flowing, and the River Jordan was the way through. But it wasn't until they put their feet in the water, up to their ankles, I think it was, that God stepped in and stopped the water and they could go through. But they had to step into the water first. You know, and then they experienced God's faithfulness by trusting in his instruction. And the more we trust God and experience his faithfulness, the more we're willing to trust him a little bit more and a little bit more. Because now we know that God is good. Now we know that we stepped in the river and the river stopped. You know, and if we try and figure out what God is doing in just in our minds before we act, then I think we'll miss out on what he has for us. There's been a I'm going to go off script for a minute. There's been a bit of a discussion on Facebook over the last couple of weeks on Jeffrey Fazel's thing about the sovereignty of God. And quite an interesting discussion. And, you know, we have this idea sometimes about the sovereignty of God that he's got his plan and no matter what we do, it's okay because God is sovereign. And we think that we can't stuff it up. I think we can stuff it up. You know, he makes us free agents. We can choose to obey or disobey. You know, sin came into the world. The ultimate stuff-up, if you like. I mean, God had a plan. God is not thwarted by our stuff-ups. But what we do, what we choose, how we choose to respond does matter. And it does have an effect on us, and it has an effect on, you know, if we don't speak to someone, they may not hear the good news of God. And yes, God can sovereignly act and give people dreams and all of that sort of thing, but he chooses to use us. He wants to partner with us. He wants us to choose to walk with him. And there's no guilt trip in there, but it is a sobering thought. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Now, this bit is really helpful, I think, when we do have an instruction or an encounter that we don't understand. You know, because sometimes we feel like, well, I don't understand anything, so how can I do anything? If I don't know what this is about, how can I obey it? I don't know what I'm meant to obey. And I think acknowledging is the first step here. You know, trust is a matter of the heart. And then when it says, in all your ways, acknowledge him, we can start to step into what he's been doing simply by acknowledging what's happening. You know, it's really easy when something's happened that we don't understand to just kind of leave it behind and forget about it and move on with the rest of our lives. And this is what I started with, that we need to steward these kind of experiences. And, you know, there are some really, really practical things we can do here. You know, if we've had some kind of experience that we don't understand, or we feel like God has got us on the edge of something and we don't quite get it, we don't have to try and figure it out on our own. We're made to live in community. So acknowledge what's going on. Talk to your brothers and sisters in Christ. Talk to the people you trust. You know, and perhaps God will use other people to shed some light for you. Be willing to allow others to speak into your life. I find sometimes just reading the Bible can be good too. I mean, it's good anyway, right? But as you read, often your experiences will kind of come onto the page. You know, you're reading and you sort of see and think, ah, that's what that was. Or there'll be some little hint there that this is what God is calling to me. Something will speak to your heart in a way that's not entirely just you understanding the text on the page with your mind. And I think it's important to say as well is don't despise the small things. So sometimes these encounters we have or these instructions from God are just a very gentle nudge from God. It's really easy to miss sometimes, I think, the quiet whispers of the Holy Spirit amongst the noise of our own mind, or the noise of the world and what else is happening around us. But let's posture our hearts to hear and receive and be willing to let God direct us. You know, that was really my experience when Kurt came. I didn't have a big power encounter, but I did hear this little sort of gentle nudge of the Holy Spirit whispering into my heart to deal with a little bit of fear that I'd allowed to come in, and that it was time to let that go and trust Him. And then this passage finishes up, this little section with, "And He will make your paths straight." So do you see how, as we've gone through these things, that any sense of our own control over it has gone completely out the window? We trust in the Lord with all our heart. Lean not on our own understanding. I mean, let's be real, our understanding is kind of that small and God's is infinite. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. So it's God who makes things work out. You know, if I was to use my preferred method of doing this, right, God would give some kind of instruction, set up a doorway, a threshold to walk through, and then we'd go on a bit of a process. I'd come up with a strategic plan for the whole thing, set some goals, work out, okay, so we're going to go and get to there. That's how my brain works. But God says, I didn't put this verse up, there's a verse in Isaiah where it talks about, "And you'll hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, go left or go right." You know, and it's okay to make plans. God has built some of us that way, and that's okay. But a little bit further on in Proverbs, there's a verse that says, "A man makes plans, but it's God who orders his steps." So we need to know that even in our making plans, we trust God with the outcome. Even when it looks bad, right? Even when it looks like it's not working out, we can still trust God. You know, it says of Jesus in 1 Peter, "When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly." Because what God really wants, I think, and He gives us, you know, things to do, and He wants us to participate in what He's doing in the world, but what He really wants is to be close to us. He wants our heart. He wants us to know Him and His love for us. You know, in 1 John, you know, which is later on in the New Testament, John says, "So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us." There's a process there, a life lived which learns the love of God and experiences the love of God and gets to know the character of God and that He's good and faithful and trustworthy. And we only get to know God by experiencing Him in our life. We do get to know Him in the Word, and it's important we get to know Him in, you know, read Him in the Word and get to know His character in there. But it's as we live our lives out and experience the goodness of God interacting in our daily lives that we really get to trust and know Him. If we have it all sorted, if we have our plans and know how it's going to work out, there's really no opportunity to trust God. Let's give God opportunities. We'll give ourselves opportunities to trust God. I think Maria did that for us last week when she came and talked about, giving words of knowledge. That's a scary thing, right? Getting up here and saying, hey, I think God's saying this. Is there somewhere out there with that? You really got to trust God with that. It doesn't make sense. So let me finish up. I did have it there. Look at that. Just by asking you, what's the threshold that you're on the edge of today? What is it that God is calling? Is he calling you deeper? Is he calling you to a shift in your life in some area? What is it that God is saying to you today? I'll tell you something amazing. Do you know that God trusts you? I wouldn't trust me. But God trusts me. There's verses all through the New Testament that say things like this. But just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak. Not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. So God trusts us. How crazy is that? If God trusts us, how much more trustworthy is God? So he trusts you. Will you trust him? So I'm going to play a song now, and we'll let's just consider what God is saying to us in our hearts. What is it that he wants us to step into? And then we'll flow into a time of ministry.